Apanan, Trilokya, Dahanat, Vishat, Shri Prajapataya Uchu, Deva Deva Mahadeva,
Deva Deva Mahadeva,
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana,
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana,
Trahina Sharanapanam,
Trahina Sharanapanam,
Trilokya Dahanad Vishat,
Trilokya Dahanad Vishat,
Sri Prajapataya Uchu,
Sri Prajapataya Uchu,
Deva Deva Mahadeva,
Deva Deva Mahadeva,
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana,
Bhutatman Bhutabhavana,
Trahina Sharanapanam,
Trahina Sharanapanam,
Trilokya Dahanad Vishat,
Trilokya Dahanad Vishat,
Sri Prajapataya Taya Uchu. The Prajapatis said,
the Prajapatis said,
Deva Deva,
Deva Deva,
O Lord Mahadeva,
O Lord Mahadeva,
best of the demigods,
best of the demigods,
Mahadeva,
Mahadeva,
O great demigod,
O great demigod,
Bhuta Atman,
Bhuta Atman,
O life and soul of everyone in this world,
O life and soul of everyone.
Bhuta Bhavana,
Bhuta Bhavana,
O the cause of the happiness and flourishing of all of them.
O the cause of happiness and flourishing of all of them.
Trahi,
Trahi,
deliver,
deliver.
Na,
Na,
us,
us.
Sharana Apanam,
Sharana Apanam,
who have taken shelter at your lotus feet.
Who have taken shelter at your lotus feet.
Trilokya,
Trilokya,
of the three worlds.
Of the three worlds.
Dahanat,
Dahanat,
which is causing the burning.
Vishat,
from this poison.
From this poison.
First, the translation to text 20. The demigods observed Lord Shiva sitting on the summit of Kailasa Hill with his wife, Bhavani, for the auspicious development of the three worlds. He was being worshipped by great saintly persons desiring liberation. The demigods offered him their obeisances and prayers with great respect. So this begins the prayers, three Prajapataya Uchu, or the demigods. Praying, text 21, the Prajapatis said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadeva, supersoul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since Lord Shiva is in charge of annihilation, why should he be approached for protection, which is given by Lord Vishnu? Lord Brahma creates, and Lord Shiva annihilates, but both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are incarnations of Lord Vishnu and are known as Shaktivesha avatars. They are endowed with a special power like that of Lord Vishnu, who is actually all-pervading in their activities. Therefore, whenever prayers for protection are offered to Lord Shiva, actually Lord Vishnu is indicated, for otherwise Lord Shiva is meant for destruction. Lord Shiva is one of the Ishvaras, or the controllers known as Shaktivesh avatars. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Lord Vishnu. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavani Pastitade Satarane. So this is the pastime of the churning of the ocean. And as you've been reading every day, it's progressing. And the demigods and the demons are churning the ocean under the supervision of Lord Vishnu in many different forms. So after so much difficulty, finally, one of the first things that comes up is not auspicious, but a big creation of very deadly poison comes out of the milk ocean. So this is very dangerous. If poison spreads, everyone can be killed. Therefore, the demigods, as the well-wishers of living beings, have come to Lord Shiva hoping that he can save them and protect them. So the question was brought up in an earlier purport. Well, since Lord Vishnu is there, the Supreme Lord, why go to Lord Shiva? And the acharyas indicate that as part of his pastime, he wanted to glorify Lord Shiva. Lord Krishna does many things at once. And Vaishnavamrita Sambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Vishnu, it's stated. Therefore, the Lord likes to take opportunity to glorify him, just as Lord Shiva likes to take opportunity to serve. In another pastime, also in the eighth canto of Bali Maharaj, there's an occasion where the Ganges has to fall from outer space to the earth, and in order not to that it not smash through the earth, someone has to sustain the force, and Lord Shiva comes forward to do that service, very happy to take on his head in a servant attitude the foot water from Lord Vishnu. So the Lord wants to glorify the devotee, and the devotee wants to take the most submissive position he can as a servant of the servant of the Lord. That's their relishable relationship. So that is why they are not going to Lord Vishnu by arrangement of the Lord. Now, in approaching Lord Shiva, he is addressed as the greatest of all the demigods, the super soul. So we may be a little bit confused by this. Why is the super soul? We thought the super soul is Krishna. And actually, in the number of verses of this prayer, many names and descriptions are given in praise of Lord Shiva, which are appropriate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this doesn't mean that Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or that there's a competition as to who is. And therefore, everything has to be understood carefully. And carefully means what the Shastras actually say, and as handed down and commented upon by the great acharyas. In matters like this, we can't speculate, or we, like the scholars, we can't improve and say, I think that actually, as you look at the matter, Shiva is as good as Vishnu, or Shiva is better than Vishnu. This is the academic approach, to take the text and improve upon it. Improvement due to change of time, that we can see things now with a new progressive viewpoint, and more proudly, that I am better than whoever that ancient author was, and because of my background and educational prowess, I can analyze this situation. So they may do this in their relative field to their great satisfaction, but in knowing the absolute, it cannot be done with good results. Tarko pratishto shutaya vibhina dharma sitatvam nihita gohayam mahajana yena gatara sapanta. One has to rely not on logic or one philosopher as being better than another, but we know the truth by following the authorized mahajans. There's another verse in Mahabharata that says things which are inconceivable by nature. What is God? What is God's expansions? What is the soul, for that matter? They cannot be understood by logical debate. There's also a verse in Vedanta Sutra. By logical debate, you cannot reach the truth. The truth has to be taken from the method of handing down from the perfect source of the Shastra, and Shastra means the Supreme Lord. And those who are faithful to that, therefore we say authorized Mahajans. It is beyond the other attempts to understand. So in this way, we understand, for example, Bhagavad Gita says, Vedaischa sarveraham eva veja, Vedanta krid veda vedeva chaham. I am the goal of the Vedic knowledge. I am that which is to be known by the Vedanta. And I know the Vedanta. So Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, and in his original form, Krishna, from whom everyone, all the incarnations and all living beings emanate. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. This is the way to understand the position of Lord Shiva and the position of Lord Vishnu, as well as anything else. So, the position of Lord Shiva described here is that he's a Shaktivesh avatar, like Lord Brahma. And you may approach a Shaktivesh avatar, and you may pray to him, describing him as the Supreme Truth, but actually it is your way of directing those praises or prayers to the Supreme Lord. And this is very pleasing to the Lord, and it's pleasing to the Shaktivesh avatar also, to serve as the via medium of the Lord. In this case, the Shaktivesh avatar is, we could say, not an ordinary Shaktivesh avatar, but Lord Shiva, he's unique in his exalted state as Shiva Tattva. He's not exactly an ordinary living entity, neither is he exactly Lord Vishnu. In the Brahma Samhita, he's described by a comparison to yogurt with milk. Milk being the original substance like Krishna, yogurt is not made of anything else. It's not, yogurt isn't milk and grains or milk and vegetables. It's milk, but treated with a culture that makes it quite different than milk. But in the same way, it's also milk. So that is the nice example given by Lord Brahma to help us understand Lord Shiva as transformed Vishnu. Vishnu, when he wants to deal with the material world to control it, he appears as Lord Shiva. So, in this case, Lord Shiva is taking the position of Lord Vishnu to protect all living entities, and he will do that by a very wonderful, heroic personal activity that will make him glorious for all time. I won't get into that, which will come later, how he saves them by taking the poison himself. In fact, when you get to that point, I remember reading that not long ago, there's a very wonderful couple of verses for preaching and book distribution where Lord Shiva is praised for the magnanimous act of saving other living beings. It's one of the very powerful, especially the purport and the verse also, very powerful praise of anyone who stops the poison from spreading and does something to save all living beings. Therefore, the Lord wanted this to be done by Lord Shiva. Now, there are different sects, especially the Mayavadis, who take these things differently, but we've already explained in order to do that, they have to change the direct meaning of the scriptures. But we should be aware of their tactics and not be confused ourselves. Sometimes they accuse the Vaishnava of being sectarian. That they say, hey, look, Mahadeva is being praised as God. Don't take it another way. He's actually to be understood as God. They're either Lord Shiva or Lord Vishnu. It doesn't matter, because ultimately they're all just manifestations of the one spirit, which is impersonal Brahman. So that is a large topic we need to get into, except to say that the Vaishnava Siddhanta is not sectarian. favoring one god unnecessarily over other gods. deriding worshippers of other gods. But all this kind of sectarianism has been created by those who don't take the Siddhanta of the Vedic knowledge. We're in the place of Lord Shiva is very glorious, and the true Vaishnava could never be accused of sectarianism. Sometimes it does degrade to that, and some not a real Vaishnava, but some immature or pseudo Vaishnava would actually want to speak something bad against Lord Shiva. We see that in the Daksha Yagya, cursing Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he associates in the crematorium, and he's the crazy man. If someone thinks that's very good, loyal Vaishnavism, that's a great mistake. We're not so small-minded that in order to worship Vishnu, we have to knock down somebody else, like Lord Shiva. Even he wanted to worship Lord Chaitanya and not Lord Nityananda. That was the brother or brother-in-law of Krishna's Kaviraj. He fell down from his position. And you can't like one without liking the other. You have to worship both Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And similarly, we may worship and we glorify Lord Shiva. I'm just coming from India, and a few days ago we were in Jagannath Puri, and we visited some of the Gaudiya Math temples. One of them was particularly friendly, and we went at a time when the deity was closed. Radha Krishna deities they have on the altar, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati on the altar. So the sannyasi, he greeted us. He said, you cannot see the deity now, but I'll show you some other things. So he took us to a side altar and behind the main altar. And there was a deity. He introduced us to Gopishwar. This is the deity of Lord Shiva in the form of a gopi. It was a very remarkable deity, dressed just like a gopi. And in front, it was a big deity, and in front of it was a very big black Shivalinga with all paraphernalia. So I had never seen like that, all the Shivalinga and the Gopishwar. And so I said, this is remarkable that the Gaudiya Vaishnava, we can also worship Lord Shiva. And he said, oh yes. And he also quoted that verse, Vaishnavanamita Sambhu, and was saying how Lord Shiva wished to become part of the Rasa dance, and he took the form, he was allowed to take the form of Gopishwar. And there are so many pastimes of the wonderful association. Later in this verse, canto, Lord Shiva goes in a very friendly way. We see that there, although the Lord is the Lord Shiva is the servant of Lord Vishnu, they're also very friendly. They're both great personalities. And so Lord Shiva, he had heard about the Mohini incarnation of Lord Vishnu as a woman. And we want to know, what is this very attractive feature of Mohini? May I see it? That turned into a very special pastime to demonstrate certain teachings, of course, but also to show a mellow between them. And describing that, Prabhupada says, it was obviously a joking matter between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, that Lord Shiva, in a joking way, said, because he knew that he was one who was never agitated by Cupid. So he said, what is this? I hear you have an incarnation that's very bewildering. I don't think it can bewilder me, but I'd like to see what you've got. And Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu smiled at this request. And Prabhupada said, Lord Vishnu had to think whether the incarnation, what effect the incarnation would have on Lord Shiva. So, and then that pastime took place, and so many. And so actually, as we read Prabhupada's books properly, we get a nice attraction for Lord Shiva, Mahadeva. but not with any confusion about it. So we stop at 7. And I'll just read the verse and maybe we can take some questions. But Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadeva, supersoul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds. Are there any comments or questions at this point? Yes. Yeah, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are several occasions where the whole scene is set. I think in the Daksha Yagya, for example, they're about to go there after they've been devastated by Shiva's followers. And it's described this beautiful scene. And he's under this huge tree. And Narada is there, and Kumaras are there, hearing from him. So there are descriptions of what the birds are like, what the trees are like. And the very saintly persons are there hearing from him. Not just that he's with demons. demons are his followers, but that's because he's very compassionate and he takes on this low class group, just like sometimes even in ISKCON we have some programs that really cater to more demoniac or more fallen people, distributing them food in poor places or disreputable places. So that's very much admired work. So who does that? Who's willing to do that work, not just polite work, but go to very degraded people? It's a good Vaishnava. Therefore, Lord Shiva, he takes on the most degraded persons and elevates them by sometimes dangerous, even to him, methods. But try to get to your question. He's in a very sublime place. He's not in a hellish place. He deals with them sometimes, but he stays with his eternal consort in Mount Kailas. So as I understand it, some of you can, I don't know it that well, but there's this material world, and then there's the Ramajyoti and the Vaikunthas. So there's a border between the material and spiritual world where this Mount Kailasa is located. Neither in the spiritual sky, nor within the material, within the material world, but in its own sector. Now, about eternal associates, and it gets very technical, and I can't answer all the questions like how many Shivas there are, and the Rudras there are, and there's the spiritual Shiva, who is in the spiritual world, Sadashiva, and he comes in the material world, he becomes Shiva. There's a whole science of the tattva. But to answer the question simply, it's a very sublime place, sounds like Vaikuntha, with all beautiful parks and rural, natural, beautiful things. And he's engaged in meditation on the form of Vishnu, and he's associated with some other great Vaishnavas. I think you'd like to know more about it, but I don't know. You could look on the different places where it's described in the Bhagavatam and elsewhere. But on different occasions in the Bhagavatam, persons go there to seek his help, and it's always described like that. Very beautiful, very peaceful, and he's always with usually with his eternal consort, who's addressed by different names, like here, Bhavani, his wife. Adish Maharaj or someone else, give him some more information.
Well, unless my memory is tricking me, I recall from the description in the fourth canto when the participants in the Dakshin Yajna are going to see Rajiva. Srila Prabhupada describes that he compares Kailash and the abode of Rajiva to Goloka Vrindavan, but it has a similar kind of spiritual nature.
Eternal abode. I remember talking to a young man who came to our temple in Boston, and we were explaining about Lord Shiva, and he was speculating, and he said, well, you say it's like that, but they both seem to be so great that it's really beyond our understanding. They're probably really just equal, and they're just two great gods, and we really can't know that what they're like. And he wanted to make it like that, that they're both the same. But like you say, if anyone talks like that, then Prabhupada or the scriptures are very stern and clear that that's not to be thought. Although he's very, very great, and sometimes they may appear to be very friendly, still, one is the chief of police and one is the supreme enjoyer. And Lord Shiva understands them that way. And he would be angry too if you misunderstood Lord Vishnu like that. So we shouldn't speculate. Yes?
If Lord Shiva's abode is a spiritual abode, there's a couple of instances in the Bhagavatam where people just wandered in there, either they passed in an airplane over Lord Kailash, or there's someone else that went in on a horse, Ila, and he got changed into a woman.
Right.
How is it that
I'm not sure where Lord Shiva was exactly in all those different instances. That forest where the sages and different people wandered into. If it can be stated that it's like the spiritual world, still it's not to be taken. That it's, well, I don't know about that reference, but...
Well, there were people like Mansa and Mathura.
Who saw Krishna. If someone apparently bumps into Narada or Shiva or Vishnu, there's some big reason behind it, that they're getting that mercy. So even if you read something and it seems like there was some very easy access. If the Lord wants, the access can be very easy into Vaikuntha, or he comes into some place and you can meet him. So that wouldn't be a crucial thing to understanding whether Kailasha is a spiritual planet or not, whether somebody is allowed to go there, apparently without credits. Yes?
What's the difference is, of course, that Lord Shiva can't bestow moksha on anyone. So a person who still has some material desire, he can have darshan of Lord Shiva much easier, much more readily available.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the clear differences. He's called Ashutosha. He's very easily satisfied, also very easily angered. You do a little worship, and you get your material result from Lord Shiva. And that result, it may not be good for you, but still he'll grant it. He's so liberal. Because you wouldn't approach for anything else. You approached him for some nasty thing, and he gave it to you, and you have to suffer the result. But Lord Vishnu's kindness is different. He's kind, as Lord Shiva is, but actually he's more kind because he won't give anything that will hurt the worshipper or detain him from going back to Godhead. So the devotee of Vishnu, it seems like he's harder to please, because he's ultimately pleased at heart only by pure devotion. Where Shiva, he says, yes, I'm pleased by your jagya, your austerity, I'll give you what you want. So there's that difference in the dealing of the devotees. And a good example of Prabhupada's dealing with people inquiring about Lord Shiva, aside from how he answered Dhananjaya Prabhu's question, was that he answered a Shaivite who had been not satisfied by other devotees of Prabhupada. This is mentioned in the Prabhupada Lilamrita in Madras. By emphasizing the difference between the worshippers of Shiva and the worshippers of Vishnu, and not in any way casting any kind of criticism of Lord Shiva or even diminishing Lord Shiva. The devotees had rather harshly diminished the stature of Lord Shiva compared to Vishnu, which was very hard for them, for the Shaivite to take. But Prabhupada emphasized not that, but that the worshippers are materially motivated, and the worshippers of Vishnu, that's for pure devotion. And the man found that agreeable, liked to hear it from Prabhupada. And that one could see Vishnu and approach Vishnu for pure devotion to Krishna, that's a different thing. But to go to Vishnu for material, therefore the Shiva worship is a contaminated lower thing, not that Shiva is. So that was a very interesting insight on how to not only understand it, but how to speak it, especially where there are big Indian communities. I don't have experience here, but I know in a place like Guyana, there's a lot of Shiva temples and Shiva worship, and a lot of nice facility for devotees to go again and again and hold programs. But sometimes a devotee would go once and speak against Lord Shiva, and people become very disturbed. We don't speak against Lord Shiva. We speak against this kind of materialistic worship, impersonalism, which is done by the Shiva worshippers. But Shiva himself, his situation is different. He's pleased with pure devotees and with worship of Vishnu. He likes to encourage people in that direction, rather than this other work that he does, this welfare work with the Bhutas and demons. All right. Have we used up our time? Just about. Thank you very much. All glories to Prabhupada. Yeah.